I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Before we get to Rob, I just want to apologize. 2 weeks ago, I had a chance to go up to Ohio for the End of the World Series, which I took. We tried to record that Thursday. It didn't work. The file didn't save, which was awful. Then obviously the last week was the international break. But we're very glad to be back and apologize for the patchy service in the likes of AT&T or T-Mobile, basically whatever cell phone provider you have, you understand patchy service. And hopefully we will be back to the regular swing of things now. With that apology out of the way, now, Rob, you are my co-host, my companion, my partner in crime. What's been happening with you, man? It's been a long few weeks.
Nothing, man. I've been sitting here with, you know, earbuds in my head waiting for you for 2 weeks to do this podcast the right way.
You've just been sitting at your computer?
I've been literally sitting here. Like, on hold, like, waiting, like, the guy in the taxi, for if anybody's ever seen the beginning of the movie Airplane, where he pulls over at the airport and he says, I'll be right back, you know? but, yeah, no, I'm excited, man. This international break stuff is for the birds, and we're finally done with it. Well, for, you know, we're on the stretch run to New Year's, let's put it that way, you know? Multiple game weeks coming up with the midweek games and Boxing Day and all the hoop and holler of FPL action. I'm excited, man. I'm just excited for actual fantasy action to get back in play. I know there's other formats that everybody plays, you know, the DraftKings with the World Cup qualifying. They do have competitions there, but it's not the same because it's not a weekly 38-week basis where people come in, they set their lives to hearing me and you talk about, you know, the FPL goodies that players like Joe Allen and Eden Hazard give the world. And we exclusively drop dimes and acknowledge people's acknowledgments. So I'm acknowledging that acknowledgement.
Acknowledged. I do want to touch on internationals before we get into the Shangri-La that is the usual fantasy Premier League grind, which is, over the international break, you get injuries. We're not really going to touch on that too much because it looks like mostly people are okay. But, you know, you have players that score goals on internationals, players that struggle away at internationals. How much weight do you put into international form for your FPL team?
I look at it one possible way. The guys that are middling players that don't see a lot of the pitch time for lower level clubs, say, you know what, I'll throw a random guy out there, Wahbi Khazri. He scored during the break, and he's a middling fantasy asset. It's 6.1, his ownership is really low, and he plays for a Sunderland team. You know, Sunderland has a good run of upcoming fixtures coming up. It's more important for him, I think, to build off the momentum that comes with the international play. Whereas a player like Alexis Sanchez, who scored twice today for Chile, you know, it's almost something that you kind of expect for him. So,
also, he's not how really worried was everyone when Chile said they were going to start him? It's like, oh, please don't.
I hope they let he played like 48 seconds and they pulled him off. But whatever. But he scored two. Like I was saying, you know, for a player like Alexis Sanchez, it's expected for him to score. For his nation and for in other competitions beside the Premier League. So for him, it's kind of not like all right, he's still in form. But guys that you want to, that are on the cusp of value, the differential plays, those are the guys that I like to see gain momentum with the international play. Like I said, with Khazri, names are eluding me right now. I don't really know who scored too much and did
well,
Uzi West
scored today before he got hurt.
Yeah, Yeah, Lallana scored, but you know he's a fantasy asset now.
And
anybody
Coutinho
on Liverpool
was balling out for Brazil. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm you know like it's just I'm gonna go with what I said there. The stars are gonna star, and then the middling fantasy assets, you know, are looking to build off the momentum, and there are guys that you could actually, you know, take a side eye to and maybe roster because they're all mostly values and they're on lower level teams. So, you know, the differential plays. I'm looking at guys that could be differentials. Everybody in the world's going to own the Sanchez's, the Coutinho's, the Hazard's, the Aguero's. You know, I'm looking at the guys who are not really the knocked on guys, you know, anybody really. Anybody who's questionable to put in your lineup at either his price is off or his ownership. Those are the guys I want to see in international play and see what they can do.
Fair enough. Excellent points by you. I'd probably tend to agree with you on the most part. So we will quickly get into the meat of the show with price changes. Obviously, we've had some people go up, not too many. The one that I felt really bad about was, well, for you and I, we'll talk about this later, but both of us jumped on Hazard early to avoid mm-hmm. the price rise. Then got hurt a little bit. Looks like he's going to be okay. But Lallana rises, is actually hurt. Doesn't look mm-hmm. like he's going to start at the weekend. So that obviously was not as fun for people. Who are some of the other guys that went up and down?
You said there isn't a lot. There's actually a lot. I mean, maybe it's lumping the 2 weeks off into one big thing. But I think there's some interesting names in here. We'll start in net. Heaton and Pickford went up. No surprises there. Heaton is the save king of Los Angeles. He's taking over, or maybe he's the sausage king of Chicago. Maybe that's what he is. He's the save king of La.
Wasn't great today for England, but obviously is hilariously beating everyone in the saves category.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's the guy that everybody's joining in on, and Pickford is the cheap end option that has value because of Sunderland's upcoming fixtures. On defense, Simone Francis, Charlie Daniels, Bournemouth has got an interesting run coming in them. It's not fantastic and it's not awesome, but you know, if they're Bournemouth and they could surprise, and they are a little bit of a differential play because they're not bigger names, so they can give you some value back to their added prices now. Cesar Spilicueta, Marcos Alonso, George Ferrand, Ben Gibson all went up as well on defense. Interesting that people are buying into the Middlesbrough defense, Kev. There's next five upcoming fixtures: Chelsea, Leicester, Hull, Southampton, Liverpool. Are you looking at anybody at Middlesbrough, namely George Friend or Ben Gibson, to buy in? Looking at those five games?
No, the fixtures are too hard, but they have quietly snuck up pretty well defensively. So I think they're sixth on the season, and what is that? Fourth over the last five. So the Middlesbrough defense has been good, but that run of fixtures is probably too daunting for my taste. I haven't owned a Middlesbrough defender all season, and certainly now would not be the time to recommend buying in.
Yeah, I think it's people trying to look outside the box and looking at their past three games. You know, they have two clean sheets in their last three. George Friend has two cleans and a goal in his last three, so I think that's why he's getting a lot of more of attention than most. And Ben Gibson has been basically he's a solid defender in most formats. Just in the FPL format, I think he's basically a clean sheet driven defender. Moving on to the midfielders that has gone up. Eden Hazard has gone up twice since the last play. His price is now over 10 bucks. So, you know, he's becoming a what now play. He's owned in 28.8% of leagues right now. 235,000 transfers in since last game week. That is an exorbitantly large number. Also on the up, Nemanja Matic, Pedro, Victor Moses, Philippe Coutinho went up. And by him going up and being transferred in the amount he's been up, Philippe Coutinho is now the most owned FPL player at 47.1%, eclipsing everyone else. There's a little tidbit for Kevin. You know, I like to do a little homework and give Kevin a little oh wow moment. Yeah, so you know, Liverpool defenders have all midfielders have all gone up basically. Coutinho, a lot. Firmino have all gone up. KDB has gone up. Gundogan has gone up. Joe Allen, and then on the forwards, Sam Vokes, Diego Costa, and Charlie Austin has gone up. Diego Costa is now up to 41% ownership. He is only 4.8% below what Sergio Aguero is currently. I also found it interesting on the player ups. If Kev, were you paying attention to how many players I listed from one specific team that wears blue jerseys?
No.
Seven Chelsea players have gone up in the last week.
That's honestly not that surprising. They've been so good.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean.
Oh, I have a question for you about a Chelsea player. Sorry, not to interrupt. Willian, what the hell?
You know, I think he's going to get some run in here. I don't know if he's going to be a knocked on every game starter. I think
this is crazy. It's like three out of the last 4 years, Chelsea's best player going into the next season has fallen out of the team.
Yeah, well, look at what they've done with the format and the coaches. They've also changed. So I think Conte, the coach, not the French midfielder, has found a system that works with Pedro and Victor Moses. And, you know, it's working. You know, Victor Moses on the wide defensive side is working there, and it's helping the buildup, because I think Victor Moses brings a little bit of a speed, toughness factor to the wide side. And I think Willian is basically, you know, with the death of his grandmother or grandfather or somebody in Willian's immediate family just was deceased. He lost a spot, and you know it's a tough pill to swallow if you're a Willian fan or a supporter and you owned him in FPL. It's going to take a little bit to get back in there. You know, it may take, you know, an off game for somebody, maybe an injury, maybe somebody gets caught up with the yellow cards right now. I just don't see him breaking the line when Chelsea's been is on the streak that they're on right now. So it's a shame, because Willian's a brilliant player, and I just you know, he could actually be a helpful player in the form that Chelsea's playing now. I just don't know who you would subtract out of there. You know, it'd probably be at the expense of Pedro, but and then that would force everybody to move around. But I don't think Conte, the coach, not the French midfielder. I'm going to say that every single time now because it's hilarious in my head. I don't think he's going to change anything. It's the, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it old mentality right now.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So that deals with the price ups. Anybody surprising there? There never really is a surprise. I mean,
It all pretty much made sense. We'll talk more about Chelsea players in a little bit, but
I mean, enough people transferring in Victor Moses in this past week to have him go up in price is pretty astonishing. Marcos Alonso are pretty much knocked on defenders right now, and it's funny if you look at the transfers in this week, four of the top 10 or four of the top 12 are Chelsea defender. You know, defenders are Chelsea defenders. They throw in Cahill and they add in Luis. And it's funny, I wrote an interesting article. I'm going to ask you this, Kev, because I'm a Chelsea fan, and I've been a big supporter of this. Kurt Zouma is actually fit and has played in a club match. You know, it's going to be interesting how often he plays. I know you brought up Willian before. Zouma is basically the cheapest entry level point into a Chelsea defense, and I wrote in my article on Razzball.com that I think that. People looking to get an entry-level price for a Chelsea defender could probably look for him and gain value. What do you think about Kurt Zouma actually breaking in some time here, maybe stealing some time from Gary Cahill?
He should. Gary Cahill has not been up to snuff, despite the fact that Chelsea have been so good defensively. I think Cahill actually has the most errors leading to goals this season. Not with loads. We're pretty early in the season. It's just two. But he obviously hasn't really been up to snuff. He keeps starting for the England team. Not really sure why that's the case. If Zouma is actually fit, I think he steps into the back three pretty immediately.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to do it immediately, but yeah, you're right about Cahill. Cahill, it seems like the weak block there. And, you know, Zouma's athleticism definitely trumps what Cahill brings in possible leadership, you know, field generalship. So that was my question about the Kurt Zouma returning. So we'll get into let's get into price downs. Why not? We'll go into price downs. I'm over here now. So on the price downs, you know, these guys are going down for a reason, because like always, they either suck or people are finding a better option. In the net, Simon Mignolet, he's not even playing anymore, so I don't know why people still roster him. On defense, Nacho Monreal, you know, he's not doing it, and Arsenal's going to look a little. That's an interesting one, Kev. How you know, Arsenal usually is pretty stout defensively, you know, as a unit. Now that Bellerin's out a few weeks, you think that they are more vulnerable to defensive, you know,
royalty.
You know. Yeah,
for
exactly.
Sure, because they have cover at left back with Gibbs. They don't really have cover at right back worth writing home about. I don't even know. Wait, is Jenkinson still there?
I don't know. The only Jenkinson I know is the one at the Jersey Shore.
Anyway, if Jenkinson is still there, which I would assume he is, So I'd assume he's going to play it right back. That is obviously a step down. Mustafi and, I almost just said Monreal for some reason.
Koscielny.
Thank you. Wow. Can't believe I blanked on that. They've obviously been a very good pairing this season. But yeah, I'm a little less confident, although they're going up against Manchester United, who have really, really not been very good lately. They currently have the 18th best attack over the last five matches. So clearly not on form. Zlatan misses this one. I have seen some people saying that maybe they'll perform better without him. Maybe the mobility of a Rashford or a Martial up front may help unlock some things. It's possible. I'd still probably, like, if you asked me which unit I'd lean, I'd still probably lean the Arsenal defense. But going forward, yeah, I'm a little less sold on them, but I'm not sure I'm going to sell out of any of my Arsenal defender shares. I'm probably not going to sell out of any Czech shares if I had any. It's definitely worth noting, and is a little concerning, but I'm not sure it's enough to be like actionably concerning.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I mean, I don't think I'd buy into anybody on Arsenal's defense because I think the price point pushes people away.
Yeah,
I'd rather.
Sure does.
You know, I'd rather go five across at moderate to medium value than having one at, you know, 6.4 or whatever Koscielny is now, and, you know, piecing it together with, you know, the players that possibly don't even play, you know, like on the Swansea with everybody still in the Jordi Amat fan base. Mm. And it's funny because I actually still own them. But anyway, going back to price downs. West Brom pair, you know, Craig Dawson, Gareth McCauley went down. Gareth McCauley is an interesting one because I still own him, and he's owned at 24.3%. And I don't understand. I think it's maybe people are shifting around, and I'm going to get into it a little bit more when I get into my start sits. Ooh, a little teaser. But McCauley's owned 24.3%. Their upcoming fixtures, Burnley, Hull, and Watford. There seems like there could be some value there for West Brom. I know they've broken everybody's heart when they had a good run of fixtures, you know, about a month ago, and they couldn't hold anybody clean for the last 10 minutes, but they did it for 80 minutes and basically, you know, made everybody score fall precipitously in the last 10 minutes. So I think it's just shifting names around on West Brom, but I'll get into that a little bit later. Some more popular names, Raheem Sterling went down, Nasser Chadli. It's funny, with all the injury news to Alexis Sanchez, he actually got transferred out enough to go down. Everybody, Kevin's favorite and godfather of his future child, Ross Barkley, went down.
Oh God!
the least favorite Liverpool midfielder, and seems like he isn't really in favor of Jorginho Wijnaldum, went down. Remember, look for him only when he plays at home or at Newcastle.
more difficult this season, but
yeah, absolutely. And there's two other interesting ones, Kev, because I want to get into this. It's another West Brom player, Matt Phillips.
Yeah,
he scored 13 points the last game week.
Yeah,
he went down and has been transferred out almost 13,000 times.
Yeah, it's surprising, especially with Nasser Chadli kind of nursing an injury right now.
Mm-hmm.
You think he's
Chadli went down as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, he hasn't been as productive and he's been hurt, although. Like rumblings, he's like 50-50 for the weekend, so it'll be interesting to see if he's back or not. But I like what I've seen out of Matty Phillips. He offers a little bit of pace for them, which mm-hmm. was kind of sorely needed.
I love Matt Phillips.
Yeah, I don't have their stats up right now, but I feel like they're really not that far down in chances created, considering, you know, it's still Pulis Bowl.
Yeah, I would take 9 Matt Phillips and 1 Sergio Aguero and win.
Not so sure about that, but no, I do like him. It's like a passive liking. I'd have to look into it more before I added him. But, yeah, it is surprising that he's gone down.
Yeah. And then my last one, I saved the Spurs for last because it's a great segue for Kevin to just jump in and get his weekly fix on talking about Spurs. Heung-Min Son has gone down. Is the boat sailing on Heung-Min Son now that Harry Kane seems like he's fit and back and full 90 ready?
It's a very interesting one. It's a bit like the Firmino situation where the obvious downside is that Son won't be playing in as advanced position. Whew! That's a whole lot of pronouns. But anyway, but I think he's actually more effective coming off the left. If he can start working a 1-2 with Kane, I think that'd be very good. Also, I found some interesting stuff statistically this week on Eriksen, where I've been obviously watching the Spurs matches and have been sorely disappointed, although things were a little better last match. But he's actually still top 10 in shots and key passes, which was surprising to me, and is just a gentle reminder that Eriksen, at his best, is a phenomenal player. We haven't been seeing it. Maybe the stats are saying something that I'm not seeing. Maybe a rebound is soon. I'm not buying in yet, so I'm certainly not going to tell you to. But obviously, Harry Kane being up front will help Son, will help Eriksen, just because there's a different focal point for the defense that should allow those two to be a little bit more free. Although Eriksen picked up a knock, Dele Alli has an injury that's probably going to keep him out until December. It's not a great time for Spurs fantasy players. And even, you know, some of the defenders, there are some tough matches coming up for them as well. Just right now, I'd be a little hesitant. I think it's a really good time to sit back and see. Tottenham are typically very good over the winter period. So maybe ease off the gas a little bit. They're a tough matchup. See how things suss out. See how, you know, Eriksen and Son adapt to their new roles behind Kane. See how Kane adapts to being back in the 11. Just for now, I'm kind of wait and see on most of them.
Excellent points, Kevin. Excellent points. I love it when I bring a Spurs question in and you just boom, 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 boom. Sub edit. Point. Go to the index. Print.
Yep. You know what? I need to cite my sources a little bit more. Are you a bigger fan of MLA format or that other one?
I like Times New Roman because it's
that's
boring.
That's a font.
Oh, see? That's how much I don't know.
Oh, fair enough. but yeah, is that about wrapping up your price changes?
Yeah, I think that's the price changes. I think we should pay some bills here for a second, possibly.
We should have this listen to the people that want to sell you stuff.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, and we're back, and oh, what a great product and or service that just was. Definitely buy or sign up for a subscription service for that thing that just was.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's buy subscriptions like they're selling magazines coming door to door.
I don't know. It could be like a Blue Apron situation. I don't know what it was. I haven't had to do a live read lately, so.
If somebody came to your door right now with a magazine subscription and you couldn't buy one that was sports-based, what would the magazine be? Go.
You know what? For nostalgia factor, maybe Reader's Digest? I used to love that as a kid. Like, the humor uniform section was always funny. You know, you have thought-provoking articles, you know, touching on politics. I'm sure that would be relevant right now. So, you know, I'd probably lean Reader's Digest. I know it's not a sexy pick, but, you know, I liked it as a kid. I bet there's still quality stuff in there. And I feel like it would be good for people to get a little bit more information from outside their usual circle, because I feel like that happened to a lot of people the last week or so in the U.S. as everybody listened to their own bubble and then assumed things would go certain ways, and then they didn't. And everyone's like, huh? But Reader's Digest, what about you, man? What magazine are you diving into?
Oh, without hesitation, it would be Highlights.
Oh, hell yes, it would. Yo, can you spot the differences?
Yeah, spot the differences. You got to find all the objects in like the little doodle tree, and like it's like a scene. You got to find like the violin and like the singing pig, and I used to love that stuff. You know what sucks? Sometimes when you go to doctor's offices and they have those there, I hate when they're all done.
Yeah, right? Like,
I'm like so disappointed. I'm like, oh man, somebody already found, you know, the toothbrush and, you know, the cow jumping over the moon in this picture of, you know, a wishing well with grandma and grandpa walking down the hill. It sucks. I hate it.
I just had a weird flashback. I think it's Parks and Rec, where it's like, look, I spotted all the differences. And they're like, yeah, those are just two different pictures. but yeah, man, highlights. Man, that's a heck of a throwback.
Highlights.
Good times, man.
Who doesn't love a good highlights? You know, they're like, kid stories are actually funny. I mean, I know I don't read at the levels that they're written in yet, but like they read pretty well and they're pretty funny.
Yeah.
I get all my jokes from them.
We should do an episode where we both get the same edition of a magazine and just keep referencing it and see if anybody notices. It'll be like the Ovaltine code, where only a select few will know what the hell we're talking about. And then the secret is listen to more of our podcast. Oh, man. All right, that's a weird reference, but cool. Well, let's head into starts and sits, why don't we?
Yes, the vegetables of the program. If the price up, price downs are the protein.
I don't know. Maybe it's the dessert. I don't know. But
maybe it's the starch. It's the starch.
It's the starch for sure. Hope you guys aren't on a paleo diet. I will start with my forward starts, and I waffle on him so much. He just is what he is. So it's basically a matchup play. But Jermaine Defoe, 7.3, 14.7% owned. He's in form. 2 goals and an assist in his last 2 matches. Sunderland, not a great attack. Don't think they score more than one, but if they score one, he's going to be the one that does it, and he's up against Hull and their perennially league-worst defense, so obviously he's a guy worth keeping an eye on. Aguero, I think, is a must-captain this week against Palace, who have been reeling defensively, and Lukaku has a very good matchup against Swansea. I don't buy in on Deeney, even though they are going up against Leicester, who have the league's worst away defense. In midfield, kind of trying to lean back away from that chalk a little bit, Yannick Bolasie, 6.1, 6.4% owned. He's top 5 in both successful crosses and take-ons. So not only is he getting in dangerous positions, but he's also doing something with the ball, which was one of the bigger complaints at Crystal Palace, was that there wasn't enough end product. He's currently on 4 assists. And with Romelu Lukaku up front, I think the likelihood of those passes and crosses ending up as goals is much higher than it was last season with Connor Wickholdinho Wickham. But I like what I've seen out of him thus far. He's the only Everton winger you can really trust right now as well, because there's been some rotation, there's been some injuries. It's a situation you want to avoid, but it seems like Bolasie's nailed on. And this week they're facing Swansea, whose biggest weakness out of many is their defense. And I think Bolasie is going to run rings around their wing backs. Taylor and Naughton, obviously not so up to snuff. Taylor maybe getting up there in years, Naughton getting up there and not being so good of a footballer. but anyway, I think Bolasie is starting to become an interesting selection, and obviously is a bit of a differential with a very good matchup. For defense, I said I was going to come back to Chelsea players, and I'm going to eat a little bit of humble pie on Chelsea. Mm. The only reason it's a little is that I was big on them in the preseason, as soon as Conte was appointed, because he's a phenomenal defensive manager. Probably the best in the world. Him and Simeone are right there, 1 and 2. But obviously they've turned things around. The change of formation has helped them considerably. They have 5 straight clean sheets, which is always something that's very nice. And they only have 2 top 10 attacks on the schedule before 2017. So it's probably better to buy in on them sooner rather than later. We mentioned Zuma already. You mentioned Alonso a little bit. Is there a particular Chelsea defender that you have your eye on?
No, I'd probably look at whoever is least owned, so it's probably not Azpilicueta, and it's not probably Marcos Alonso right now. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, like we just talked about with Cahill, he'd probably be third in the pecking order. And then you could probably take a shot with Luis, who does give you a little bit of advancement and does take
and
some set pieces.
Yeah,
it does take some set pieces. But, you know, I'd wait a week. If you don't already own a Chelsea defender, wait until you decide to see what Zuma does, because I think when he comes in, he's going to be the guy. If he can cement himself over Cahill or over somebody else, if they get an injury, Zuma would be the guy I'd look at. Unfortunately, you can't do it now.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but Middlesbrough have the 17th ranked attack in the Premier League. Like, this has all the signs of a clean sheet on it. I understand that you might want to wait to save a couple of shekels, but, I mean, this is a really good matchup for them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I completely agree. But like I said, if you're investing in a Chelsea defender, you got to invest at least 6.0. So I mean that's a tough transfer to make in. So you're basically you know what the perfect scenario is. Mm-hmm. You just lost Hector Bellerin and you're bringing in a Chelsea defender. That's basically exactly what you're doing.
And that would probably be the most emotionally satisfying, as opposed to other people stepping up, stepping down to a very consistent defender would probably be quite fun. The other defenses worth noting. I think Tottenham do have a good week, but I'm not buying in. I already mentioned the tough fixtures coming up. And the defense that everybody loves to hate, West Brom, who always ruin everything. Surely they can't mess this one up, right? Surely. I mean, they're inevitably going to, but Burnley have just one away goal all season. So in theory, it's a good matchup for West Brom, but, you know, they kind of tend to punish people who trust in them, including Sir Tony Pulis. That is it for my starts. Who you got, Rob?
I'll start in defense. I mentioned it before with the people changing names with the baggy defenders. I'm going to go Chris Brunt. He's getting a lot of internet love right now, and I kind of like it. Look what he does with set pieces. He takes a lot of crosses. He does take some corners as well. I believe since 2009, I read he's got 22 goals in his Premier League career. I'm looking at the baggy schedule upcoming. Burnley, Hull, Watford. Burnley is surprisingly doing pretty well right now. And you know, you probably don't want to bank on them not really falling on basically falling on their face. But Chris Brunt's a guy I would keep an eye on. Look at his price; it's very cheap. Look at the ownership; it's even cheaper. Those are two things that automatically check me for a defender. You know, the third being the upcoming fixtures, and basically, you know, he probably gets three quarters of a check there, because after those three fixtures, it gets a little wonky. But you know, you're playing for the here and now, and Burnley and Hull are enough for me to take a chance on another West Brom defender, unfortunately, because, you know, people have not been burned enough by them this year. Through the midfield, I called this last game week, and I texted you and I probably maybe about 10 minutes, 15 minutes before game kickoff. And I know I'm contradicting myself with the defender and midfielder here, but I really don't care. And Kevin kind of knows who I'm going to pull out here. I'm pulling out Johan Berg Gudmundsson.
Dude, you called it for Burnley. That blew my mind.
And it was a
jammy goal, to be fair. But
and it was in what, the first what 12 minutes of the game or 14 minutes of the game?
Mandanda.
Yeah. Burnley's playing surprisingly well, probably better than any of the other promoted teams we thought would be playing. I probably wouldn't have had them. Would you have them first, this, you know, higher than any of the other two promoted clubs this so far?
Burnley?
I would have said they would have been second, but
yeah, I think Borough coming in with their defensive record from last season,
exactly,
and the look of Negredo with Gaston Ramirez and what we thought we were going to get out of Victor Fischer, I was really excited about Borough, but Burnley, you know, Vokes has done very well in the absence of Gray, held him out this week. The fact that they finally got DeFore back from injury, I think, is big for them. The Hendrick signing has worked out really well. Obviously, we know what Heaton and Keane are doing at the back. I think Ben Mee has been a bit underrated for them this season. I like what I've seen out of Burnley. You know, this team is clearly more able to stay up than the one last time. And that's a team that included Ings and Trippier, but there really wasn't much else aside from that. But it does feel a little bit different. I would not be stunned.
Yeah, they got
Burnley and Borough both stayed up this season. I think right now the bottom three is pretty pronounced, with Sunderland and Swansea and Hull. I would be more surprised than not if those three are the ones that go down this year.
Yeah, I think they have a better mix of veteran international talents, not on the skyline players, but you know, Gudmundsson fits in that, you know, Jeff Hendrick fits in that, Georgie Boyd fits in that.
Yeah.
You know, guys on secondary international levels that are good. You know, Austin Barnes also, you know, they fit into the, you know, they're not stars, but as, you know, the sum of the pieces make a better Burnley team. So through the midfield, Johan Gudmundsson. That's a friggin' mouthful. Anyway, and Johan Berg Gudmundsson. That's who we're going with for midfield. Ownership, nothing. Price is comparable at 5.1 to basically anybody you're punting with at midfield. He's basically, you know, Joe Allen. You know, anybody cheaper than that you want to go with. He's this month's Eddie Nkampou is what he is. In the front, I'm going with Harry Kane. I know his price is expensive. He's 10.7. He's the third highest priced, or maybe second highest priced forward. His ownership is what I'm looking at. Listen, this is still Harry Kane. He still plays for Spurs. If Spurs are going to score goals, unlike they have been doing, what do they have, four in their last seven games?
Oh, it's been real bad. Oh, also, sorry, I hate to interrupt. No, I don't. I'll do it all the time.
Go ahead,
but I've seen a lot of people saying that Tottenham just aren't creating chances this season. And I think people need to specify between chances and good chances or clear-cut chances. Because Tottenham are actually second in the league in chances created, behind only Liverpool, who I think we can pretty much all agree are clearly the best attack right now. Yeah. With Chelsea probably second, City probably third. But the theory that like Tottenham aren't creating chances, so having Kane back won't fix that, is flawed. The thing about Kane coming back is it doesn't fix the draws problem. Because people were like, oh, well, Tottenham are drawing too much. Having Kane back, well, he'll score those goals. Well, last season, we were one of the highest teams in draws, and we had Kane. The difference is just we're always going to score one, right? And we're very rarely going to let in more than one. Harry Kane, when playing, is the most likely to score that one goal for us. The question is always, where's the second one coming from? But I just needed to dispel the myth that we aren't creating chances, because we are.
Yeah. And like I said, Harry Kane, the only reason I have him this week, you know, he's normally a big name, and I don't really touch on big names, but the ownership is what I'm looking at. He's only owned in 5.4% of leagues. For me, he's basically the anti-Diego Costa. If you're chasing points in your league and you want to hit a home run with similar price tag and similar investment in a player, look at what Diego Costa is doing. Look at his price. Diego Costa is still sitting one yellow card away from missing a game. And if you want to, you know, just be different in your league and try to make up points in a different way, I believe Harry Kane is the way. You know, look at their fixtures coming up. Kevin knows them by heart. They're not awesome and they're not fantastic, but he's still Harry Kane. He's still the guy who scored back-to-back 20 goal seasons. Correct.
Yeah. Golden Boot winner.
You know, I mean, just look at their upcoming fixtures. We'll go all the way to New Year's. West Ham, Chelsea, Swansea, Man United, Hull, Burnley, Southampton. That takes you to New Year's. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 matches there on teams outside the top 10.
And United are not the stout defense that they were. Southampton have struggled a little bit lately.
West Ham is not the same team.
Oh, no. Yeah.
You know, it's the only team on that I could see him, you know, giving problems is at Southampton. Southampton's a very stout defensive team when they're playing well together.
He's weirdly gotten the better of Van Dijk the two times we've played them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll get into that in a minute.
Oh, okay. Damn.
But yeah, that's my starts for the week. I went Chris Brunt. I'm not even going to try to say his name. Is he Icelandic? No. Gudmundsson? No. What is he from? Is he Danish?
Oh, I'm on mute, like a big dumb idiot. He's Icelandic.
I said it right the first time. There you go. I said it right the first time. Johan Berg Gudmundsson and Harry Kane are my starts. And I'll jump right into sits.
Yeah, go
so,
for it.
So on defense, Kevin just mentioned it and kind of stole my Kool-Aid from the picnic. Virgil van Dijk, look at Harry Kane's record against Southampton. I believe he's got, what is it, 3 goals in the last 5 games? I can't remember the exact number. I don't have it in front of me. If not, I probably am making it up. But anyway, Southampton defenders, wait, they don't even play friggin', what am I talking about? I'm making up stories right now.
What are you talking about?
So anyway, Southampton, let's start over at that. You ready?
Go.
All right. All right, so I'm just going to jump into my sits because I'd like to just ramble on and just keep going. So I'm going against anybody who plays Liverpool this week. So that goes to Virgil van Dijk, since he's the most owned defender for Southampton. It doesn't look good for anything that goes against Liverpool right now. Their offense is basically too potent. I wouldn't trust I don't know. I wouldn't trust anybody. I don't think I'd trust any defense right now against Liverpool to keep a clean sheet or keep it at least minimal and give some kind of defensive output against them. I don't rate anybody defense against them right now. Through the midfield, there's too many better options right now at midfield. West Ham just against Spurs. No, thank you. I'm gonna sit Dimitri Payet.
For real, damn.
Yeah, funny story about Spurs, Kev. How many times have they given up 2 goals this year?
Nunce.
Once to Man City.
Really?
Yeah, Man City.
No, we beat Man City 2-0.
All right, so I read it backwards, so they didn't do any time.
Yeah.
So 0.0 times. But Dimitri Payet, 9.3, owned in 10.9% of leagues. His four-game output, 3-7, 2-2. Listen, do yourself a favor. Make a transfer somewhere else. Save yourself, you know, 0.5, 0.6, and just go get Eden Hazard if you don't own him already. Dimitri Payet is not the good play right now. I know people like watching his curving free kicks and what he does, and he's electric. That's what he is. He's electric. You know,
he's electric.
But he's not for fantasy.
Sorry, so,
that was actually friggin' hilarious. So, and for my forward sit, I'm gonna keep it kind of vague here. If you don't have Romelu Lukaku, Diego Costa, Charlie Austin, or Sergio Aguero, if you don't have any of those four names, anybody else is a sit. How's that?
Mm. Yeah.
I think the forward position is becoming more stapled and nailed on than any other position in the format right now.
Yeah, I'd probably tend to agree with you there. I am not as harsh on Payet. Leads the league in both key passes and crosses. So he's still doing his job, although I fully understand the concern. I dropped him myself for Hazard. The question is, who's going to put him in? And that answer has not been Simone Zaza thus far. Do you know when Andy Carroll comes back? I like literally just remember that he's a person.
I don't know. I heard a funny joke about him, though, and it involves something about a bun in the oven. I don't know. I don't remember the joke, but...
No, well, nothing popped up too easily, so I don't know. But yeah, I can understand the hesitancy for sure. The forward, I've been saying it for weeks. Alvaro Negredo is still top 10 owned as a forward, and he's up against Chelsea's defense, which has just been insane. Middlesbrough are not creating chances worth anything, and they're the 17th placed attack right now, so I'm all out on them. And my midfielders and defenders... This is going to be a really big blanket thing, but I'm a little bit done with Bournemouth right now. They're playing, in the short term, they're playing Stoke, which, by the way, I did a little rejiggering of my stats models, and so now I do like a compound of overall plus form, and Stoke look really good in this format right now. Fifth best attack, sixth best defense, seventh best goal difference, which is a monumental shift from where they started this season, where they were bottom three in almost every meaningful category. Remember, we celebrated the week they weren't the worst defense anymore. But they've turned it around very quickly. The fact that Butland is kind of on the horizon again, I think is huge for them. But anyway, Stoke in the short term, very good, and a tough situation for Bournemouth, who have not been particularly great of late. After, you know, they had some, you know, fluffy fixtures there, where you and I both bought in and were like, they should definitely win these. They have not. Their defensive rankings have dropped precipitously. They're out of the top 10 now, both last five and overall. The midfield, I'm not super jazzed about. You know, this Stoke team has done this turnaround without some of their key midfielders. I think they're only going to get better from here. And, you know, I like Josh King on the whole. He does actually have the best shot accuracy percentage of all players with more than 15 shots this season. But my Bournemouth love affair is falling off. Adam Smith is suspended for this one. I'm just not a big fan of them anymore. What do you think? They were kind of our love children. Are you ready to bail on them, or are you going to give them a little bit more time?
I wish I could say I'd be ready to bail on it, but you know, it's tough. I'm a loyalist in this, and that's the part that kills me. So, you know, I'd probably wait until I get zero return from him or an injury or something like that happens. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm a loyalist to a fault, so it's hard for me to get a correct answer. It's hard to give me a correct answer here. I'm going to pass. Can I pass? I'm going to pass.
Fine. We'll ask the audience. Hey, audience, do you still believe in Bournemouth? Let us know. Call the number below. Free set of knives.
They're one of those teams that, you know, it's funny, coming into the season, everybody was on the Jordan Ibe train.
I was on the Max Gradel train.
Yeah. And then I was gonna say you were on the Max Gradel train, and I was on it a little bit because I was interested to see what he could do, given the you know, the tools in the shed that were around him. And then Junior Stanislas comes out and, you know, scores a 29-point week or whatever he did that 1 week. And, you know, Callum Wilson's still there. So they have interesting guys that you could, you know, invest in. But at what point are you sacrificing someone on your team to bring in a Bournemouth player? That's probably the best question possible. Yeah. You know, are you bringing in Junior Stanislas to augment Joe Allen, or, you know, to supplant Joe Allen? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can just go up the list. Are you bringing in Callum Wilson to bring in Charlie Austin, you know, to switch Charlie Austin? They're similar price points. Probably not. I think Charlie Austin's probably the better pick there.
And he keeps matriculating his way up, and I own him. Yeah. And I'm starting to get a little concerned. Southampton had like a nice little run there, now looking a little iffier. He's still clearly the guy, which is why I'm willing to hang on. But I am surprised that his price keeps going up.
The one thing about Charlie Austin is he always keeps value because why, Kevin?
He takes the penalties. Takes
penalties, exactly.
Say it with us at home.
He takes penalties. PKs make Charlie Austin go around. He's this $6 million PK man. That's a Bionic Man commercial. A joke.
Solid. I liked it.
But anyway. By the way, I just want to get back to you before, when you said something about Dimitri Payet. You said, you know, I'm not sick of the Payet. It kind of makes me, that kind of sounded really like a sexy term. Like, I'm not sick of the Payet yet.
Let's try it out a few more nights and see if we like it.
Let's put it on the bureau.
And just see how we like it. Just live with it for a day. We can take it back.
Put it on the Schiffero.
Oh, wow. See, oh, you fancy, huh?
Enough obtuse names for lesser-known, lesser-used articles of furniture in people's housings.
Fine. Fair enough. But anyway, yeah, that was my super lazy back end of my sits. Out on Bournemouth now.
No, it's cool. Hey, man, somebody's got to be out on everybody, you know, because if everybody was in on everybody, then we'd all have the same team.
You're right. Yeah, and you mentioned that the forwards are starting to be more clear, but there really has not been a template this season. We thought there was going to be one.
It started to be one.
Yeah.
Like in week 4, 5, 6.
Like when people started using their wild card, yeah.
You know, it started to be, you know, Sanchez, Liverpool midfielder, Hazard, and, you know, or KDB. But, you know, it wasn't even then the template wasn't exactly firm. It was just basically, there's probably maybe four spots of the template that were fixed. You know, it was Aguero, Sanchez, Kevin De Bruyne, a Liverpool midfielder, and, you know, insert your rash, you know, Hazard or Payet. That was probably the template. Mm. But now we've completely moved on, and now the template is basically as many Liverpool players as you possibly could retain through the midfield, and then
yeah, scattered. Did you see all those teams the last match week where they had like Coutinho, Firmino, and Mane or
Mane?
Yeah. It was like, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, we'll look at it this way: you're not really investing in anybody else for Liverpool. I mean, you're not investing in Carrick. I don't think you're investing in Karras. I don't think you're investing in it. God forbid if you're – please don't invest in a Liverpool defender.
Oh, you have to believe in Milner. He has the most penalties this season.
And you're not investing in the walking pneumonia and the booga-wooga Daniel Sturridge up front. He's just – there's nobody else you're investing there. So, I mean, it makes sense to have three players on the highest scoring team to, you know – facilitate your midfield. I mean, I'm not a fan of it because I think they steal and rob from each other. But, you know, they've proven that they really kind of don't, because they kind of basically, you know, one gets a goal, the other gets the assist, and then another gets a goal, and another guy gets the assist. It's kind of like a FPL pyramid scheme is what it is with
that Liverpool. Is great. Midfield. Liverpool are the fantasy Mary Kay.
They're the fantasy Agway.
Nice. What are some other ones? Whatever. Google pyramid schemes. It's those things. Isn't there like knives? One of them's knives. Yeah, some of them's like painting that like they target kids in college to do.
There's tons of them, dude. There's absolutely there's tons of them. I mean, there's probably magazines. Are we talking about magazines
again? Oh, aren't some of those one of those nutrition companies?
Oh, yeah. Herbalife.
Herbalife, yeah. Wait, don't they freaking sponsor LA Galaxy?
I don't know if they do anymore. I don't watch MLS. Yeah. I'm a fan. I'm a soccer snob. I apologize.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
You were about to bust out your team and what moves you did.
Right. Ooh, that's not the noise my team should make right now. So I actually have an interesting call to make this week, and I'd be interested to get your take. Do you take Pickford, who is significantly the second best at saves, against Hull, who have been dreadful and have no Abel Hernandez, have no Will Keane, or Hugo Lloris against West Ham? I have Pickford in right now. I'm going to be honest.
I would stick with Pickford. Yeah. Well, I have a similar thing with me. I mean, I like West Brom's matchup as well.
But they screw you.
Yeah, I know. I'm still rostering Foster for some reason because I just haven't had a chance to change my goaltender.
It's like an abusive relationship where you're like, well, they're not always abusive.
Yeah, they're not mean when other people are around.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I mean until the 80th minute when they concede for the first time.
They are the bane of my 80th minute existence.
I know.
All right, anyway, go. Back to your team.
Oh, right. So I'm in a bit of a pickle defensively. I made the early Hazard move, so I still have Holobas and Smith, who are both suspended, which is problematic. So currently my back three, Kingsley for Everton, Matty Loughton, who I am pretty big on for the next little run here. They're against West Brom, and then Seamus Coleman against Swansea, which I do actually like. I'm trying to decide if I need to make a minus four for that Kingsley thing, because I do think Everton could run riot to the point where that could start looking negative. But we'll see when it gets a little closer. Across the midfield, Firmino, Ozil, Allen, and Hazard with Pereira on the bench. Haven't had time to actually get him out yet, but obviously long-term want to. Aguero and Austin lead the line with Benteke still floating around. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to give you a raw stat and ask you what you think about it. Benteke currently has a 41% shot accuracy, which is dreadful. Do you naturally look at that and think that it's going to come back to neutral, his career usually listing around the mid-50s? Or are you thinking that's a sign that something at Crystal Palace isn't clicking and you're concerned and want to ship him out?
Can it be a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B? Sure. I don't think – because I think Crystal Palace is not running on you know, six cylinders. I think they're running on like five. I think they have the players there. I just don't think that they're playing well all at the same time. I own Benteke as well. He's kind of like my wild card at forward because, you know, I could just be a lemming and go with Lukaku or go with Costa and switch my team around or whatever. But I like having Benteke for a Crystal Palace team that's a little bit of a differential kind of. He still is kind of a little bit differential. But yeah, I think it's a little bit of, you know, I think he'll regress to the mean, and I hope that the team plays better around him to help him, you know, recess to the, you know, add to the mean. So it's kind of like, yeah, he's doing well enough to be just okay, but if the team played better, he'd probably would just be that okay anyway. So yeah, so it's probably a little bit of both.
Fair enough. I appreciate your input there. The bench, as I said, probably going to leave Lloris there, Pereira, just because I haven't transferred him out, Holobas and Smith. As far as my captain choice, I think Aguero is a must-captain this week against Palace, who have been woeful defensively. Who do you got, man?
I already mentioned my goalies. I got Foster and Pickford in the net. My defense, I made two changes already. I took the minus four because I wanted to get Hazard in. It almost bit me in the ass, like Kevin said before. And many owners were sweating it, but I made two changes. I brought in Eric Peters for Stoke, and I brought in Hazard. I believe I sent out Payet and somebody else. I don't even remember. It was so long ago. But on defense, I have McCauley, Peters, Williams, and Daniels. I'm still owning Jordi Amat, as I mentioned before, as my 4.0 dump. So I'm pretty okay defensively. You know, West Brom has a decent enough match. Stoke has a decent enough match. Everton, I like their matchup against Swansea. And Bournemouth, Charlie Daniels is basically an all-around – he's my all-around, you know, defender that can do all, fix my house, paint my porch. He's like my Danielson. Well, you get it. That's pretty funny. I didn't even think of that because his name is Daniels.
Nice.
So I'm all right in defense. I don't know who I'm going to start yet because I'm only probably going to start three because I got five pretty good midfielders going across the middle. I still own Alexis Sanchez, Joe Allen, Philippe Coutinho, Eden Hazard, and Ilkay Gundogan. The Ilkay Charlie Brown teacher is my other. Is my fifth midfielder.
Do you know the story behind that?
I believe I read it somewhere at one point. I know they're making fun of somebody, like somebody's teacher.
Well, they it became that, but originally there was a voice actress who got that role and then actually got sick literally the first week of having to do whatever the version of ADR was back then, which is auto dialogue replacement for people that don't know. But anyway, she actually got sick, so they replaced it with literally a trombone guy using a trombone mute to open and close the bell of the trombone. And it played so well that they fired the voice actress. Somebody for real life got fired for a trombone, which is a real situation.
Wow, that's pretty god-awful making fun. That's messed up, man.
Yeah, true story, though.
Yeah, so
nobody expected to hear that on today.
No, I like the history lesson we just got.
The more you know.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we're forwards, and then up top, I have Charlie Austin, Sergio Aguero, and like I just said, was talking about Christian Benteke. Me and Kevin have the same forwards, which is just weird. But anyway, yeah. So I'm all right now. I mean, I'm starting to get more comfortable with my
team. Yeah, this is by far the most comfortable I've been with my team all season, as long as Hazard is actually fine.
Yeah. So that's my team. Aguero is looking like a fine captain choice for me this week, as is Philippe Coutinho. But I think those two will probably be the most popular guys, so I'm probably just, I'll keep it, the always captain Aguero situation. Can't go wrong.
Yeah. I agree with you there. Oh man, we had to split this recording, so I don't know how long we've been going. So, how about you talk for a minute while I check on that?
So, with fantasy football, starting to get almost playoff time. So that's all I got.
Playoffs. Playoffs.
Yeah, playoffs. Exactly.
Fair enough. It looks like we're just about good time wise. So. Without any further ado, we will bid you adieu. Why don't you tell the folks so they can get at you?
You can find me on Twitter at Smokey_Loogie. That's SMOKEY_LOOGY. You can find all my writings and amusement laden pieces on Razzball.com. Click on the soccer ball. If you don't know what the soccer ball is, what are you doing listening to this podcast? You can find me and Kevin.
Can you teach me to football?
Can you teach me how to football? Yeah, exactly. You can find me and Kevin all over the place, but Kevin's going to tell you that because he's got a better memory and I don't remember where everything is.
Oh, I always forget some anyway. Thank you for listening to this. You can always check us out at EPL Roundtable on Twitter, where you can find this and the EPL Roundtable and the Championship Roundtable, all the roundtables. Every single round table you can find over there. Also, we're going to get back to our DFS videos this week, so be sure to check that out at VIP-bet.com. Also, I'll be back with my article this week since we're back to Premier League. That's at TheEaglesBeak.com. You can find these shows at AllInSportsTalk.com. Also, their app at All In Sports Talk, which I think is both in the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. And like I said, probably forgetting some other things as well. But thank you guys so much for listening. Apologies again for being on a brief hiatus, but we are back and better than ever, at least according to us. You guys can let us know if you actually think that's the case. But thanks again to Rob for joining me, and we hope you guys come back next week for plenty more fantasy fun and shenanigans.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.